Good morning. I'm told by Shelley that this is an unstable pulpit. Just want to thank you all for the welcome you've given us. It's been amazing. Oh, don't worry about that, Doug. It's been amazing. We've visited for a while now, and one of the things that struck us in this church is the warm welcome we got here. So bless you guys. It's been wonderful to be with you. I'm going to be speaking about the man Joshua today, and the question is: does this thing stay on here? It doesn't. All right, doesn't matter. The question is: who was this guy? Who was Joshua? And so we're just going to look briefly at Joshua. Later on, the preaching team will be going into the book of Joshua, and we'll be talking about that later on. But today we'll just look at the man Joshua and the call of Joshua by God to courage. And I believe that's a word from God for this congregation today. God is calling us to courage. Joshua was just another slave. He was born in Egypt, so was his father, so was his grandfather. The history that Joshua had behind him was similar to what we've got here, about 400 years. And so where does our history take us? Back to nearly Jan van Riebeck. So what's happened in all that time? So if you look at Joshua's life, at the time we look at him, what went before him? He knew nothing really about the past. I mean, he'd just grown up there and he was a slave, like everyone else in the place. And the people had been slaves in Egypt for about 400 years. I heard one of our honorable politicians speaking on television the other day, and she said something very profound, which I thought I'd share today. She said, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it'll remain a pig. And so it actually doesn't matter what you call slavery. Slavery is slavery is slavery. There's no nice way to speak about slavery. It's not a nice thing. And sun up and sun down, day in, day out, month after month, year after year, every day, get up in the morning and make bricks for Pharaoh. No change. Every day is the same old thing. And you know, for many folk today, their lives are like that. They get up and they do their job, and they come home, and they go to sleep, and they get up, and they do their job. And it's just one treadmill after another treadmill. Many people feel that there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But you know, for Joshua, one day, in the midst of this drudgery, in the midst of this dry desert, making bricks for Pharaoh, in the middle of all this, something happened. Something happened that gave him hope, that put a spark of hope in him. In the middle of his same old, suddenly the stranger arrives from Midian. He didn't know who this guy was, but he turned up there and he announced that Yahweh Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, had seen the suffering of the people, and he was come down to rescue them out of the misery of Egypt and to lead them to their own land, a land flowing of milk and honey. What may he have responded to this little message? He could say, it's just another broom salesman. It's just another televangelist full of big talk. He could have just brushed it aside and said, really, what's going to change? What's going to change our circumstances? Or he may have said, I know this Yahweh Elohim. I know this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We haven't seen him around for 400 years, but we've heard about him. We've spoken about him. Maybe there's something in this. Maybe God has got something for us. But you know, for him to follow this latter thought would put him in the minority, because most of his fellow Hebrews were quite used to building bricks too. And they didn't think there was any hope either. And so for Joshua to get excited about Moses and this new message would put him in the minority. And you know, for us, there's a parallel here. Something about the Bible that we need to know, and that is the Bible was written to Jews. and to Hebrews. And Hebrew thought is very different to ours. Hebrew thought is all in cycles. Everything goes in cycles. And when you look at the Exodus that we'll be looking at later, when you look at the Exodus, there's a parallel that occurs in the New Testament. And so, if you read Luke chapter 21, and I'm just going to read a little bit of it to you this morning, Jesus speaking, and Jesus foretells wars and persecutions. He says to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues. And Jesus goes on to portray a terrible time that's waiting ahead. And then he says something very profound. He says this, but truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all this has taken place. Heaven and earth will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Jesus was foretelling the fact that in spite of all of this stuff, he's got a promise for us. And so we could have a similar response to what Joshua had. We might say, oh, we've heard about all this in the past. We've heard about wars and rumors of wars. It's happened for generations. Read your history books. Read all about the wars that have happened in the past. Surely we are not that generation. Surely we are not that generation. There have been earthquakes forever. There have been diseases forever. Or maybe you could read that chapter. Maybe you could read that passage of scripture. And you could say, hang on a second. Maybe we are. Maybe there are things that are pointing us towards the very end. And Jesus' words are coming true in our lifetime. Now, wouldn't that be exciting? If it was. For some people it's terrifying. But for many people it's very exciting. Because if it is true, then the return of our Lord Jesus Christ is even at the door. We have a choice today, just like Joshua had back then. He could have rejected the message brought by Moses and simply returned to his slavery. He could have just said, oh, you know, it's just another salesman. I'm going back to what I've done every day. Or he could follow the dream. He could take courage and follow the dream. And I want to talk about courage this morning because that's what the whole thing is about. Courage is kindled. Courage is kindled by a vision from God. God gives you a vision and he kindles in you the courage to follow that dream. Do you believe God is leading us to something better? Do you believe God has got something beautiful in store for us? When he speaks about, I'm coming back to take you. In my Father's house are many mansions. When you read passages of scripture and you read about heaven, don't you think God is coming back to take his people there? After the dust and the heat of Egypt, what sort of vision of a land flowing of milk and honey? What sort of a vision of their own land would have been that of Joshua? What would he have thought of? What was his frame of reference? Did he have any idea what a land flowing with milk and honey was like? How many of you have been to Egypt? My daughter's been to Egypt. She says it's an armpit. It's absolutely dusty and it's dry and it's terrible. So Moses comes along and says, listen, God's going to take you to a land flowing of milk and honey. What does that mean to a man who's been a slave all his life? After 400 years of slavery and hardship, what concept could he have had of what this land flowing with milk and honey would be like? After years of slavery to Lucifer, what does the picture of heaven look like to you? Can you imagine a place with streets of gold? Can you imagine a place where there's no disease? Can you imagine a place where there's no corruption? Can you imagine something like that? And I fear, just like Moses, maybe we've got so used to the circumstances that we live in that for us it's sort of pie in the sky to talk about all this. And yet God says that's what he's got in store for us. Listen to Moses as he speaks. He said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life that your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life, the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Choose life. Choose to follow God. Choose to follow the dream that He gives us. Read the book. Read God's book. It's written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. You know, I don't know if you've noticed the beautiful sunsets and sunrises we're having. And every time I look at them, they're just remarkable. And I say to the Lord, oh, that is so beautiful. God says, you like it. He says, you haven't seen anything. I'm going to show you something one day that's beautiful. Have any of you read the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn? If you haven't, yeah, it's a good book. Get the book. It's a really good book. He takes the passages of Scripture that talk about heaven, and he gets them into... The trouble with the Bible is there's bits and pieces of heaven all over the book. And what he's done is he's tried to get it all together. And if you read the book, he gives you an idea of what heaven will be like. And he's quite honest. Sometimes in the book he says, I can't be sure about this, I'm just supposing. But most of the time he's saying, the Scripture says this, it's going to be like this, it's going to be like that. Ask yourself the question, why did God give you the talents that you've got? Why did God give you the skills that you've got so that you can live 70 years and die and be forgotten and be a name on a gravestone one day? Why did God give you the skills He's given you? Why did He give you the talents He's given you? He's preparing us for the work that we will do when we reign with Jesus Christ one day. Courage to set out for the promised land is kindled by a vision from God. God needs to kindle a vision in your heart of where He's taking us. And it's an unknown for us. We've never been there before. We've never gone on that road before. And so we don't really know what's around the corner. And so we need courage. And courage starts with a vision that God gives us. It may be just a little spark at first. But as we seek God's face, and as we listen to Him, and we feed that spark into flame, and that flame into an all-consuming fire, that vision will start to drive us as we follow after God. That vision is to be found in the presence of God. To be found in the presence of God. Joshua chose to follow that dream. He chose to follow that dream. You know, he could have said, okay guys, you're going off to the promised land. I'm staying here. I've got a regular morning job and I've got somewhere to sleep tonight. And if you want to go off to the promised land, that's good for you. He could have done that. But he didn't. He chose to follow that dream. And as he did so, he began to experience the presence of God. And as we are obedient to God, and as we choose to follow after God, we begin to experience the presence of God. We start to see God in action. Most likely for generations, none of the Hebrews living at that time would have experienced the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They would have passed down stories from Him. There was no written Torah. There was just around the supper table, they would talk about what happened in their past. And so they would have passed down stories from then. But now all of a sudden, Moses appears, and he has this ongoing debate with Pharaoh and all the signs and wonders that occurred at that time. And suddenly the people saw God in action in Egypt. Suddenly Joshua watched as Moses and Aaron negotiated with Pharaoh. He watched as God judged the gods of Egypt. He watched as God devastated the economy of the most powerful nation on earth at the time. Egypt was the United States of America of that time in history. And God took all their gods apart. God took their economy apart. And suddenly they were left standing in nothing. And so Joshua began to see the awesomeness of God. And folks, we serve an awesome God. We serve a God who is powerful. An awesome God. Joshua partook of the first Passover. The first Passover of promise, and he found himself protected by the blood on the doorposts, and he listened to the wailing of Egypt as God took their firstborn. Can you imagine being there? God's presence is a powerful presence. And Joshua experienced that, a powerful presence of God. Joshua's eyes nearly popped out of his head when the sea parted and the people walked through on dry ground. 3 million people walked through on dry ground. He listened to the song of Moses. You remember this one. I will sing unto the Lord. Do you know it? For he has triumphed gloriously. You know it. Good Doug. Goes back in history of it. But that's the song of Moses. If you read the scripture, that's where it comes from. And so God is a God who can move nature. God said to Moses, raise your rod. And he parted the sea and they walked through on dry ground according to the scripture. And so God is a God who moves mountains. And Joshua saw the power of God over creation. Joshua listened to the complaining and the grumbling people and then watched God provide water for 3 million people out of a rock. Absolutely astonishing. God's presence to provide for their needs and for our needs. And then Joshua drew his sword and he fought the Amalekites. And so long as Moses held his staff aloft, so long as his hands were raised to heaven, they had victory over the Amalekites. And Joshua witnessed that, and he witnessed a God who defends us. He accompanied Moses up the mountain of God, and he caught a glimpse of Yahweh Elohim. He didn't get that close. He didn't go all the way up there, but he could see something action up there. Can you imagine being on that mountain? That was full of smoke and lightning, and the people at the bottom were terrified. But Moses and Joshua went up that mountain, then Moses went to the top. But Joshua was there to witness it. Can you imagine the experience? While Moses was shown the pattern of the temple, and God wrote with his finger on some stone, brought the law of God down. God's very presence. Joshua witnessed God speaking directly to Moses. And after, in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, he was there. And after Moses had left the presence of God and walked away, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 33:11 that Joshua stayed at the temple of God. He stayed at the tabernacle of God. And folks, there's a time that we need to spend time in the presence of God, not to just leave. You see, courage is found in the presence of God. Joshua witnessed the presence of God. And now the promised land with milk and honey was not just pie in the sky. They weren't in Egypt anymore. They were now in the Exodus. And now the promised land was no longer just a promise. Now the promised land wasn't some idea. The promised land was in fact nearly within sight. They were en route there. They were nearly there. As we watch world events around us and as we read our newspapers and watch what's happening in Israel, as we seek after God and spend time in his presence, we begin to grasp that heaven is for real and that we are in the last days and God is leading us to that promised place. And so we need to focus. We need to focus. Courage is driven by focus. We get courage initially by God giving us a vision. We get our courage strengthened when we spend time in the presence of God. But courage is driven by focus. There is a saying that if you aim at nothing, you'll never miss. But there's a better one. Jesus says this, do not store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin destroy, where the thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. That's where your heart will be. So where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father, I like this version. It's the King James version. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. The other versions are a bit snoop. They say, in my Father's house are many rooms. I like the mansions bit. God's got something special for us in heaven one day. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Doesn't that excite you? Awfully quiet this morning. It excites me. So in Numbers chapter 13, this great host of people have gone through the desert, and you know, they arrive at the borders of the promised land. They arrive right there. It's just over the hill, guys. We're right at the promised land. Moses sends out 12 spies to go and have a look. Joshua and Caleb were amongst them. So after the promise and God's guiding hand through the desert, here they were. It was within grasp. This promise was right here. How do you think Joshua felt when he stepped into the land to go and have a look the first time? How do you think he felt when he crossed over the Jordan, he and the others, and they sneaked into the land, and he stood in the land? How do you think he felt? Ha! Oh, what a place. He couldn't believe his eyes. What an amazing country. Compare that to what he'd experienced in Egypt. He noticed that there were some walled cities, and he noticed that there were some giants around. But what a country. What potential. What farming potential. What an amazing place. Here was the promise of God right within his grasp. But you know, Numbers 13 is followed by Numbers 14. And not everyone shared this amazement that Joshua had. They came back and they gave their report on what they found. And you know the story. The 10 of them said, hey guys, this is a beautiful place, but man, this is not for us. We're gonna take a hiding here. We're gonna lose 50 love against these guys. They're huge. Joshua said, no, we can beat them. But you know, Joshua saw the land with all its potential, and he noticed some high walls and some giants. What did the people see? The people saw the high walls and the giants, and then they saw the land. And it depends what they looked at. Joshua's courage was driven by his focus. What was he focusing on? He was focusing on the vision that God gave him. He was focusing on the times he'd spent in God's presence. He was focusing on the fact that they had arrived right at that point. And it was within their grasp. What were the people looking at? The people were looking at the problems. The Joshua's courage was driven by his focus. The discouragement of the people was driven by their focus. Where were they looking? Joshua and Caleb found that they were in the minority. And my question to you today is, where is your focus? What are you looking at? Does it concern you if you are part of the minority? Does it worry you if you are not part of the majority? Do you like to feel that everyone else votes for it, I'll go for it? Or are you happy to be in the minority? Joshua had vision. Joshua experienced the presence of God. And Joshua was driven by his focus. In Deuteronomy 34, Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. He was full of the spirit of wisdom. The word spirit in the Bible can mean a number of things. It can mean wind, it can mean compass points, it can mean breath, it can mean all sorts of things. But it can also mean the Holy Spirit of God, the Ruach of God. In the case of Joshua, God took this slave, this nobody. He had no apparent skills apart from making bricks. He had no claim to fame. He wasn't somebody in the community. And God empowered him and authorized him to lead the people. And let me tell you, if you are prepared to step out and follow after God, and if you step out and follow after God, you will first of all experience the presence of God. And then God will empower you. God will fill you with his spirit. God will fill you with his encouragement. Oxford Dictionary defines courage as the ability to do something that frightens you. It frightens you. I nearly said to Pam that I want to make an announcement this morning that straight after the service, we are leaving to go up to Kilimanjaro. Don't go home. Just get in your cars and follow me. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. We'll sort things out as we go along. What would that do to you? Make you afraid? I mean, don't be silly. Of course you need another jersey, don't you? And need something to eat along the way. But you know, courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. And I think that taking over the leadership from the world's greatest statesman and leading 3 million grumbling and complaining Hebrews would have been a frightening prospect to him. I think that would have been terrifying. Can you imagine? This is about as many people that make up the population of Namibia or Lesotho. It's like taking the whole country with you. And he was taking the whole country with you. So God takes a slave. He gives him a vision. He reveals himself to him. And then he fills him with his spirit, the spirit of wisdom. That's what he does. God takes a nobody. He gives him a vision. He reveals himself to him. And then he fills him with the spirit of wisdom. Fuck, I want that. I want that. Proverbs chapter 9 tells us that the fear of the Lord, Shelley, thanks for bringing up fear. Encourage us with fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. Joshua needed courage. And lastly, I want to say that courage needs to be based on the Word of God. Courage needs to be based on the Word of God. Courage, you can't build your courage on what the psychologists are writing. You can't build your courage on what the media are saying. Your courage needs to be based on the Word of God. I heard this morning, if you want to reduce your high blood pressure, you must eat lots of peas. And so you can get all sorts of advice. If you catch cold, I'm sure Doug will tell you, you have half a dozen people say, all you need to do is you need to eat a lot of garlic. Or people will give you all sorts of remedies. And so what are you going to base your courage on? You've got to base your courage on the Word of God. What does God say? When Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to your fathers to give them. And you shall put them in possession of it. Joshua, when you go over there, you're going to put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. That is the Word of God. Joshua, listen, that's the Word of God. Folk, today, listen, that's what God's saying to us. We need courage. So in Joshua, in Deuteronomy 34, Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Why? Because Moses had laid his hands on him. And so the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord commanded him. He was commissioned. Joshua's name in Hebrew is actually Yeshua. Because the Jews don't have a J. They've never had a J. So his name is actually Yeshua. Is it a coincidence that it's the same name as our Savior? There are lots of parallels there. The name Yeshua is based on two roots, Yahweh and Yesha in Hebrew. And it means the Almighty God saves. What did the angel say to Mary? You shall have a son. You'll call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And that's who Joshua was. Joshua caught the vision. He spent time in God's presence. He fixed his focus on reaching the goal. He believed what God said. You know somebody else in the Bible who believed what God said? Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Believe God. As simple as it is, I was in preparation for this morning. I did some reading. And one of the things I read was Wikipedia, which has sometimes got some good stuff in it. I came across something in there that said, no, the whole Exodus story was just a Hebrew myth. Never actually happened. So who are you going to believe? Folks, believe the Word of God. It's simple. Don't make it complicated. Follow what God says. So what's the Word of God to us this morning? The Word of God to us this morning is courage. Where are we going to get it? In God's presence. When we get the vision. When we spend time with him, when we are filled with his spirit. Will you believe God enough today to follow him and to believe what he says? Amen.